Let's open with hymn number 190. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works! Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, heavenly Father, who of thy fatherly goodness dost suffer thy children to come under thy chastening rod here on earth, that we may be like unto thine only begotten Son in suffering and hereafter in glory. We beseech thee, comfort us in temptations and afflictions by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not fall into despair, but that we may continually trust in thy Son's promise, that our trials will endure but a little while, and will then be followed by eternal joy, that we thus in patient hope may overcome all evil, and at last obtain eternal salvation, through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
The Old Testament lesson for this day is found in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 26th through the 31st verse. Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the second chapter of 1 Peter, verses 11 through 20. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it, if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Here ends the epistle lesson. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord has sent redemption unto his people. Hallelujah. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and thus to enter into his glory. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel is found in the 16th chapter of John, the 16th through the 23rd verse.
Glory be to thee, Lord.
A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is it that he says to us, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Here ends our text.
Praise be to thee, O Lord.
We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 205.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the fourth chapter of 1 John, the 9th through the 14th verse. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Beloved in Jesus Christ, Isaiah spoke of the coming of Christ, saying, "In that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." The prophet speaks of a direct connection between seeing and rejoicing with great joy. The kind of seeing is more than just what the eyes can see. You can see a cross, and you can look at a man being crucified on a cross in the same way that you look at a piece of wood or a rock. It's just a thing that you see. It has no meaning beyond the shapes and forms that your mind can comprehend. That is not what it means when the prophet says that Christ will cause the blind to see out of obscurity and darkness. Nor is that what it means when he says that the deaf will be made to hear. The seeing means to see what before you did not see, even when it was right in front of you. It means to see with understanding. The whole world sees Jesus, but how many truly see him? In Matthew 13:15, Jesus quotes Isaiah, saying, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Instead of just seeing sights and hearing sounds, Jesus wants you to see and hear with understanding. Jesus' disciples saw that he was Christ, the Son of God, and they were blessed to see this. And yet, there were yet many things that they did not see. Therefore, Jesus told his disciples in our gospel lesson, "A little while and you will not see me. Again, a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father." He was not only talking about his death and resurrection when he said those words. It is true that a little while after Jesus died and was buried, the disciples saw Jesus again. But that is not what Jesus meant, but when he said, "Again, a little while and you will see me." Because he added the words, "because I go to the Father." If Jesus is going to the Father, how could they still see him? And furthermore, when Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples asked him many questions. And yet Jesus says in our gospel that when the disciples would see him again, they would rejoice and they would ask him nothing. Instead, they would pray to the Father in his name and would receive what they ask. These words were fulfilled after Jesus ascended to heaven and his Holy Spirit was sent to them. There were so many things that the disciples did not understand when Jesus was with them. But when the Spirit came, they saw everything clearly. They saw Jesus in all the Scriptures. They saw him in the Lord's Supper. They saw him in the preaching of the gospel and when they forgave people's sins in his name. In the Great Commission, Jesus promised that he would be with you always, even until the end of the age, in the ministry of teaching and of baptizing. Your risen Lord, who is with the Father, is still with you where you can see him. You see him when you believe his word, when you take the Lord's Supper. And truly, when you see him in the gospel and in the sacraments, you do not ask him anything at all, because he has already given you all things. He has forgiven your sins. He has made you God's children. He has united you with his own body in baptism. In our lesson today, the gospel writer, John, continues to declare to you the love of God in Jesus Christ, so that you might see for yourselves that the Father has sent the Son into the world to be your Savior. "See for yourselves," John begins, "because In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The verse begins, in this the love of God was manifested. To manifest something is to reveal it so that it may be seen. Therefore, if the love of God is manifested to you, that means that God wants you to see it. It is vitally important that God manifest his love, because if he did not specially reveal it to you, you would not know that God loves you. Men want a God who loves them. The problem is that men only want God to love them. They do not want God to judge them. Even that old TV show, Touched by an Angel, talked all the time about the love of God, but never about his judgment. Just because men want God to love them does not mean that they even believe that he loves them. If you did not have God's word, you might hope against hope that God might love you and might have mercy on you, but your conscience always tells you otherwise. Your heart, apart from the manifestation of God, only condemns you. Even if you never heard a single one of God's commandments, your heart would have no peace. You would be afraid to die. You would not know for certain what lies beyond the grave, but whatever it is, you know it cannot be good. And even if you did not know the word sin, you still would understand that somewhere after death there is judgment for every word and deed which you speak and do in this life. Seek the love of God all you want. You will not find it in your heart. And we do not need to talk about what would happen if you did not know God's word, because even now your heart condemns you. When you lie to your parents or your spouse or your friends or your coworkers, or when you cheat your employer out of his money by laziness or inaccurate reporting, when you murder your brother in your heart but with your anger, when you lust after other people with your eyes, when you take God's name in vain with your lips, or curse your neighbor in your thoughts, your heart still condemns you and agrees with the terrible accusations of God's commandments, which damn you to hell for every one of your deeds and thoughts. If you are ever tempted to believe that you do not need to hear about God's love any longer so that you may see it for yourself, then just stop and listen to the damning voice of your own conscience. You need the manifestation of God's love. Not just once upon a time when the disciples saw the resurrected Jesus. You need to see Jesus today so that you might know for certain that however much your heart condemns you, however loudly Mount Sinai's thunder rings in your ears, God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that you might live through him. This is the manifestation of God's love for you. That God sent Jesus into the world so that you might live. This is love, not your love, God's love. Your love cannot help you. Your love cannot silence your conscience. Your love cannot end God's demands. Your love cannot stop the thunder on Mount Sinai. You cannot love God enough to pay for your sins. And you cannot love God at all unless he first loves you. For where your love fails, God's succeeds. But his love cannot help you unless you know it and see it for yourself. Therefore, look and see where this love is. Look at the things that God lays before your eyes in the words of the apostles, because that is where God has promised that you would see for yourself. And not just as a man in the world sees, but a man who is the Son of God, whom God sent into the world to be the propitiation for your sins. Propitiation means the appeasing. It means if someone needs to be propitiated, that means that someone is very angry and that their anger is just. When John says that God sent his Son to be the propitiation for your sins, That means that God was very angry with you, and that his anger had to be appeased. It is vitally important to see this word and know what it means. The whole world sees that there was a man named Jesus who died upon a cross. But few, very few, see and know the reason for the cross. Here God reveals it plainly. Jesus did not come and suffer upon the cross to show you God's love by joining you in your suffering. Jesus did not suffer upon the cross to learn what it means to be human so that he could have pity on you. Jesus did not come and suffer upon the cross to fight and conquer the devil. Yes, these are the effects of the cross, but they are not what Jesus was doing on the cross. What Jesus was doing was appeasing the wrath of God against your sin. He was making his own life and blood to be that propitiation, that sacrifice which appeased God's wrath. God loved you so much that he made himself the sacrifice that his wrath demanded must be paid. Do you see it now? This is the love which God has shown to you in his Son, Jesus. It is a love that has completely accomplished everything that he sent Jesus to accomplish. Jesus was not sent just to be the propitiation for your sins. He actually is that propitiation. Because to this day, the body and blood of Jesus appease God's wrath. For the value of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the day of his crucifixion is so valuable that Jesus still points to it as the proof that your sins are forgiven, so that he can continue to say to you, "Look at my body, see my blood." He is not just showing you that your sins are paid, he's not just showing the Father, but you, so that you might see. And this is why it is so important that Jesus go away to the Father, as he told his disciples that he must. Because only after we could no longer see him face to face could he send his Holy Spirit to show you in the words and preaching of the apostles, in the proclamation of the gospel, in baptism and in the Lord's Supper, that he is not only the Savior of the Jews or of the world, but your Savior. Far better is this than to see Jesus merely with your eyes. His enemies saw him with their eyes, but they did not believe. They refused his forgiveness because they did not have his Spirit. But not having seen him with your eyes, now you see him and know him by faith. You hear his voice and you follow him. By his Spirit, you abide in him, and he abides in you. Through these things, through the means of the gospel and the sacraments, he makes you know for certain that your sins are forgiven and that he has wiped away your guilt. Therefore, rejoice that the little while when you shall not see Jesus is already over. Look upon him now. See the wonderful things that he has accomplished for you, and rejoice that he has taken away the sorrow of sin and death and given you joy and peace and a place in his eternal kingdom as an heir of everlasting life when you truly shall see him face to face, and not only see him, but be known by him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, who art mighty in power and infinite in majesty, who hast created the heavens and bringest out by name each star in the celestial host, as we enter into the courts of thy presence with thanksgiving and prayer, incline thine ear unto us, and in thy mercy hear us. We give thanks to thee, all everlasting God, that thou didst glorify thy Son Jesus in his resurrection from the dead. After he had offered himself as priest and as sacrifice for all the world, laid himself upon the altar of the cross, and died to reconcile sinners unto thee. Grant us the blessing of his infinite grace and inexhaustible love. We praise thee that thou didst transform the little while of the crucifixion, sadness, and defeat into the joy and victory of the resurrection. Help us to lay hold of Christ's promise of eternal life and to receive it in joy. Give us this glorious consolation by a true and living faith. Grant us hope and assurance that our eyes shall yet behold him when, according to thy promise, our Redeemer shall at the last day stand upon the earth and receive us and all who believe in him into the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. And as the empty tomb has been the cradle of the Church of Christ, we pray that all believers may be endowed with zeal to perform thy will, so that thou mayest be glorified and multitudes turned from their sin to faith in our risen Lord. Bestow thy favor upon our land. Give us a government that preserves liberty, upholds justice, seeks righteousness, curbs lawlessness, and by thine ordinance bears its sword in courage and integrity. Let every Christian citizen, in accordance with thy will, accept their lawful obligations cheerfully and dutifully, and give respect to those in authority and honor to all men. But as our eternal dwelling place is with thee, O Father, grant us who are but strangers and pilgrims on earth such a measure of thy power and grace that we may resist all evil, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the victor's crown of life. Give the comfort of thy promises to the sick, the sorrowful, the brokenhearted, and the perplexed. Cast out from our hearts all fear of death and the unknown. Instill in us patience in every adversity and enable us to receive all thy many blessings in love and gratitude. We ask these things in the glorious hope of an eternal day with thee, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn number 202.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Oh,
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Drink. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Let's sing hymn number 48. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.